Hi, my name is Caroline, and I'm an addict.
Hi, Caroline.
I'm feeling surprisingly calm. I think it's partly because I've gone into a slight state of unreality, you know, a bit of a rabbit in the headlights kind of state, and maybe because I'm an addict, I don't mind being in a state of slight unreality. I don't cope very well with the world as it is. It seems strange to... The first time I came to this meeting, and actually the only time I've been to this meeting, apart from today, was the period of time between Christmas and New Year, 2014. I was just at the end of a script. I was really struggling. I remember coming here, it was absolutely packed because it was the first meeting after Christmas. I couldn't get a seat. I was hanging off the wall over there because I was really sweating and I felt quite sick. I couldn't stand still. I was about to leave. And I'll never forget this, but very kindly, Shelley offered me a seat, and so I got to sit on the front row, and I stayed during the meeting, and every time I see Shelley now, I remember that, and it's making me feel grateful to be able to sit here, you know, kind of being able to do a chair and do service and kind of get some perspective on where I was. It really is quite a short amount of time ago. I got 2 years yesterday. And I'm a person that couldn't... I'm a serial relapser. 2 years is the longest amount of time that I've ever had. My story's been one of relapse, and I think the most time I was trying to work it out, the most time I've had before is about 9 months, and 6 months of that I was in a treatment centre, so I've really struggled to get a day clean even over the last decades I've been using, and my main drug of choice is heroin, but I've used everything. I think I've got the set. I'm not joking about it. Some people, I've heard a worrying thing lately that people often relapse who've been in the rooms and go out and try new drugs. And I'm afraid I've done that as well. And I've known people that have done that in the last couple of years and haven't come back. I'm aware of a couple of people that have died as well. So it's... that's my main emotion as I've been reflecting on the last 2 years, is one of gratitude that I'm still alive. Simple as that. I've been... I've had 3 suicide attempts that I can remember. I mean, there may well have been more. I think using to the extent that I did every day of my life was almost like a suicide attempt. That kind of carelessness about having the gift of life, didn't appreciate it. So my message would be, if I can get clean, I think anybody can. And I've done it in NA. Again, I've tried everything else. Detoxes, rehabs, I've had loads of counselling, I've tried the spiritual path before, you know, I've been using, and I've still done all these meditation retreats and things, came out, started using again. I've spent years and years juggling, the last 10 years of my using were juggling Subutex and heroin, and I've tried absolutely every way to use successfully and not use successfully. neither worked. But the one example I did have, though, of people getting clean and staying clean, was Narcotics Anonymous. My first meeting was in a detox in South London, and H&I came in, and that's where I got my first white key ring. That was 2001. And that was the key ring that I kept on my keys, that I've kept on my keys for all those years, and been in and out of the rooms, probably racked up a few hundred meetings, but never really engaged properly, because a lot of the time I would have been on a script, used that as an excuse for looking at the differences. I'd sit at the back thinking, this doesn't apply to me, I'm not abstinent. And then I'd go out, you know, leave the meeting early, go and use. But I think what happened over all those meetings, there was a drip-drip effect, and I got that people were staying clean. I would see the same faces, and that registered with me. So my feeling is that I came to the end of the road of trying everything else, and it was like, oh, fuck, I suppose I'm going to have to do NA properly now. You know, I've got no choice, I've run out of options. And for me, I kind of bored myself into submission. I didn't have the gift of desperation. I was just absolutely just bored. That severe boredom, this, you know, the same thing every day. Waking up feeling sick, thinking, oh, fuck, I'm going to get some money. What's that dealer going to be on? That every day. I came in this time on the back of another relapse. I don't know what relapse number that would be. Probably into the hundreds. And again, I was on a script against my will this time, because I think I had a clear idea that I'd come to the end of the road. But for some reason this time, I had the humility to come to meetings on a script, share really honestly. And in fact, when I was at this meeting, at the end of 2014, I was coming to the end of my first lot of 90 meetings in 90 days, which I'd done on the script. So then, at the end of that 90, out of the detox, and I'll say this again, I detoxed in the room, in the rooms. I don't think we hear that enough. I've seen a lot of people come in and out over these 2 years on scripts, not felt part of, and gone out again. And I will always make a point of connecting with people who are in that position. I suppose when you're in that position, it's very easy to see the differences and think, well, I'm not clean. But I behaved as if I was clean. I prepared myself for abstinence. I didn't drink. On top of that, I was just using my script as it should be used. And that's what I would recommend. Get right in the middle of NA. Go for coffees with whoever you can. Do as many meetings as possible. Share honestly about what you are. Get where you are. Get support. Get a sponsor at that point. Lots of people say, well, I can't get a sponsor now, I'm not clean. I don't believe that. Someone doesn't want to be a sponsor, but they will temporarily sponsor you, and you can look around for potential sponsors, get to know people. So then when I came to the end of that detox, and I was struggling, I mean, I felt pretty ill for a couple of weeks. It was a very cold winter, but I kept myself motivated going to meetings. I was cushioned, though. And I'd already experienced the love of the room, so it made it easier for me to then, when I picked up my white key ring, then it was more like a coming home, that surrender for me. It was like, whew, right, I've done it now, that's it. this is, you know, this is where I belong. And I did another 90 meetings. So I was a newcomer for 6 months. Thanks, Finn. But I had a really firm grounding. And that 3 months that I did on the script was a kind of like banked recovery, which I could draw on later. And I also now found that all the relapses and all the little tiny bits of recovery and the things that I learned along the way, I can now, are now tools that I draw on. But it's NA that has shown me how to use those tools, some of which I already had. So my message to anyone would be, don't be discouraged if you keep relapsing. As long as you keep coming back, you are 2 steps forward, 1 step back, but you're still going forward. And if people... the disease of addiction is a shame-based illness, and I still struggle massively around shame and guilt. And I think that stops a lot of people from coming back in. But if this was a kind of 3 strikes and you're out fellowship program, there'd be hardly anybody sitting here. It'd be like tumbleweed blowing through. I certainly wouldn't be sitting here. There's no one standing on the door with a clipboard, you know, marking off how many times you've been in. There's no, you know, no swipe in and out. There's no code to get in the door. So the only time I think I judged anybody was when I was sitting in a meeting on a script. I don't judge anyone now because I think I've got no, hold my hands up, I've done it all. I've used in the toilets at meetings. I've left early, gone and used, you know, I've brought in paraphernalia and stuff. But now I am, you know, I've just finished a secretary position at a meeting, and I would say, can anyone with drugs or paraphernalia go and put them outside, leave them outside and come back in for the protection meeting? I've never seen anyone actually do that. I think it's mainly just so people are aware, just, you know, just to be discreet about it. Keep everyone safe. I never took mine out and stashed them. Why would you do that? If you're using addicts. I'll just go and leave them out there. And, never ever see that happen. So just whatever. And again, in my early recovery, I would share some things that I was really ashamed of. And I remember one day I very early on, come out of a meeting, dive for loo, rushed into a toilet and thought, oh, I've been in this toilet before. I mean, I've been in most of the toilets in the West End for not the usual purpose. And I was sitting on it and I burst into tears because I was really grateful for the fact that I went in there, you know, just to have a piss. I wasn't going in there, checking whether everyone else is in there and getting myself comfortable for a duration. And for me, that was part of my surrender, those small moments of realisation that I was just going in there like anyone else would. And I remember next week sharing at a meeting about that, feeling a bit embarrassed about it, because as part of my step one, I was making a list of all the toilets I'd used in, because it kept happening. I was sharing about this, a bit embarrassed, wasn't looking at anyone, and I kind of looked up. And those people are leaning over, like, were nodding and going, you know, looking like really identifying. And that sort of recognition and that knowing that I'm in the right place, and I think it's almost impossible to embarrass. It's always impossible to embarrass yourself, because whatever you've done, I'm sure somebody else has done it. They've probably done it two or three times. Or even if they haven't done it, they've probably forgotten that they've done it. Or they wish they'd done it. So... So, yeah, I realise I've come to the end of 15 minutes. And I intended talking about a lot of things, you know, about what now keeps me clean, how I practice gratitude every day. But I think the main thing I'm grateful for today is for having Narcotics Anonymous to go to. And I'm now feeling, I said I was feeling in a bit of a state of unreality at the beginning. I'm now feeling really grounded, because I know that I'm kind of with my people. So, grateful for the love that I've got in these rooms, and grateful to be able to accept love these days and also give it out. I'm going to deliberately wore this top. That's something I've learnt in the rooms. Just keep coming back. I did, and eventually the penny dropped, and I'm sitting here, and I can talk in a halfway coherent fashion, and not be standing at the back, hanging off the walls, thinking, fuck, when was this going to end? So get a bit of perspective. And thanks, everybody, for listening.